part of it's making shots. I mean, that obviously you only have 19 points at half. I thought we missed some easy ones. I thought we missed some layups. I thought some of the layups where you go, just go get a foul. Don't try to make a double pump underhand layup. Go get a foul and get to the free throw line. We need to get to the free throw line more. You know, and then the turnovers too. You know, we had got a lot of empty possessions, led to 18 points off turnovers. You know, we got to do a little better job taking care of the basketball.
Head coach of the Kent State Wildcats, Bruce Weber, as the men win last night 55-51 at Bramlage Coliseum over Southern Miss, down 31-19 at halftime. Went on a 24-2 run over 8:08 in the second half to take over the game. Good thing Kamau Stokes played. It's funny, I didn't get a whole bunch of texts from people saying they don't like Kamau Stokes last night.
Yeah.
Funny how that works. Without Kamau Stokes, K-State doesn't win that game last night.
Oh, no.
And there was a lot of talk he wasn't even going to play in this game.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing Kamau Stokes, who's not even 100% healthy, came in and scored 16 of his season-high 18 in the second half, where K-State does not win this game. They could not score. Kamau Stokes about the only one that could. Barry Brown did have 15. Xavier Sneed had 14 rebounds. And K-State really struggling, 19 points first half, but scored enough to win 55-51 over a Southern Miss team who just lost at Wichita State recently. That would have been an embarrassing loss for K-State, even without Dean Wade. So luckily, Kamau Stokes came in to save the day. And I do find it interesting. I'm not saying I'm a big Kamau Stokes fan, but it is interesting how life works, isn't it? And this is how society rolls. When somebody does negative stuff, we focus on negative stuff, sure. And then the positive stuff, it just kind of washed over. No big deal. There's nothing. But boy, you know, negative stuff, yes, let's get all over it. And this is a good example. Kamau Stokes, oh, he's struggling, not making shots. Social media lights up. Kamau Stokes, why is he playing so much? He's Bruce Weber's favorite. Why doesn't Jada play more? Why does K-State have this guy on the team? And then he scores 16 or 18 points, saves the day. And honestly, he's the reason why they didn't lose that game last night. And crickets. Nothing positive to say about Kamau Stokes. Which I guess that's the biggest compliment Kamau Stokes is they weren't ragging on him.
Yeah.
It's just messed up, man. At least be objective enough to where if you want to criticize Kamau Stokes, at least be man enough to say, hey, great job.
Oh, yeah.
And there's just too many
that's
people
not the way it
in
is.
Society. That's just not, the way yeah. we roll, man.
That's it's just like, all the
I'm
way
too
around.
I'm stubborn to admit yeah. he did something good because I don't like him. So anything he does is not good enough for me because I don't like him.
Yeah.
Okay. That's, all right.
And, you know, I typically don't get on social media talking about single players like that at all.
Yeah.
Personally, for me. You know, if this team's struggling, I'll get on there and say, like last night I was like, I don't even know if K-State could beat the Trigo Golden Eagles
yeah,
right
I
now.
I saw that comment.
Like,
yeah.
I don't, like, and then they woke up in the second half and proved me wrong. But it's like, yeah, I don't get in on the, especially college kids normally,
yeah,
that age.
18,
I don't
19,
really get in on the whole,
old.
I'm going to blame you. Because I'd be a hypocrite if I did. I've posted multiple times. I'm like, let's not let 18 to 22-year-olds determine all of our happiness in life, you know?
I know.
Like, it's just like, it just gets crazy for me sometimes. But yeah, I mean, without Kamau last night, there's no question that the K-State doesn't win that game. They don't even come close to winning that game. I mean, he had the first 13 points of the second half, part of that 24-2 run. And it's like, I mean, he was on fire. Like, he was hitting no matter where he was at. It was, and he wasn't drawing rim on many of those shots either. So, I mean, he was in a zone, and they needed it without question because they looked gross in the first half.
Like,
that's the only way.
Gross.
That's the only way
adjective.
I can really put it, man. It was not pretty at all.
Gross.
And I was about to put my Southern Miss hat on in the second half just to.
You have a Southern Miss hat.
Well, when I went through Hattiesburg on my way to my buddy's wedding in Florida,
I stopped
at Southern Miss and looked at their campus, and then I got a Southern Miss hat while I was down there. I buy hats on my trips instead of shirts, so So I was about to put that on in the second half and.
Yeah.
Switch allegiance is the way it was going, but yeah, it was nice to have him because, but I don't like the excuses of oh we didn't have Dean Wade, that's why we didn't play well.
Well, you went to the Elite Eight without Dean Wade.
It's Southern Miss we're crying out
at home.
Yeah, and like you said, a team that Wichita State was actually up by 17. A lot and then
Barely
held on to win by three, but they were controlling that game.
Yeah,
that's not a good look if you lose to Southern Miss.
Kamau Stokes, 4 of 4 from three-point land in the second half.
Yeah.
Huge. Absolutely huge. K-State back in action against SEC foe Vanderbilt, 6 o'clock at the Sprint Center in the Wildcat Classic in Kansas City Saturday. 6 o'clock tip on that one. You can watch it on TV on ESPN 2. KU's got a matchup against Arizona State. We'll talk more about that with Brown Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, coming up in a little while. Local sports information.
Yes, we have our Athlete of the Week from NCKSSports.com this week. Vincent Pollen, the Beloit Junior, is named the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. Leading scorer for the Beloit Trojans team. It's off to a 6-0 start here in the first semester. 23 points a game in the last two for Vincent. Friday, Beloit winning over Ellsworth 68-50. He had 25 points, 6 of 12 from the floor, 5 of 8 from 3, and 8 of 9 at the free throw line. And then on Tuesday, Trojans picked up a 66-61 win over Phillipsburg. Pollen added another 21, shot 9 of 10 from the floor, 3 of 3 from beyond the arc on the season, averaging just under 17 points a game, shooting 50%, 40% from 3, and 74% from the charity stripe. So a great start to the season and a great couple of last games here for Vincent Pollen, our NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. For more information on how you can nominate an Athlete of the Week, visit NCKSSports.com. There's also lots of local news there for you. The newest Kansas Wrestling Coaches Association rankings are posted as well. Smith Center this week in 3-2-1A is the number 5 team. Individual ranked wrestlers this week, Zane Colson of Rock Hills and Beloit, number 1 at 152. Colton Shoemaker of Smith Center at 113, and Jaden Atwood of Smith Center at 138, both second this week. Chance Bath of Lincoln is third at 138. Chance Bath is fifth at 138. Ralph Spies fifth at 182 for Smith Center. And three Beloit wrestlers are ranked number 6 this week. Brennan Walker at 160, River Paul at 195, and Creighton Johnson at 220. So those are the area wrestlers in the top 6. And you can find the whole rankings at NCKSSports.com. There is one high school basketball game coming up this evening at 5 o'clock, just a girls' varsity, Thunder Ridge at Plainville tonight. So that'll wrap up the first semester in our area. Again, that's just a girls' game because it's a makeup for what Thunder Ridge lost with Natoma not having a girls' team this year. So girls only tonight and varsity only tonight at Plainville. And then also our high school basketball locker room chats coming up tonight, our final chats of the first semester, as we talk with the coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas. It'll be around 5:10 this evening. And you can always catch our locker room chats at our podcast. If you can't catch them live, at katycountry94.com.
All right, the first signing day, football signing day yesterday. There'll be another one in February. Here's who KU signed for Les Miles, his first class. Justin Ford, a corner from Golden West College, junior college transfer. Thomas McVitie, a junior college transfer quarterback, who will compete for the starting job with Stanley and Kendrick next season. Valerian Agbaugh, a corner, freshman from Georgia. Ezra Naylor, junior, a wide receiver, along with Andrew Parchment, both wide receivers from Iowa Central Community College. Mason Fairchild, freshman from Andale. He'll play tight end. Jaden Russell, safety, freshman from Shawnee, Kansas, St. Thomas Aquinas High School. Torrey Lachlan, a quarterback, freshman from Rockdale, Texas. Caleb Sampson, defensive lineman, sophomore. He's from Louisiana. And Malcolm Lee, a defensive lineman from Iowa Western Community College. He's a sophomore. His hometown, Omaha, Nebraska. Those are the KU football signees. K-State's list of signees. Cooper Beebe, a defensive tackle from Kansas City, Kansas, 6'3", 329. And interesting, Jax Dineen, the younger brother of Joe Dineen, who's All-American linebacker at KU this year, he chose K-State instead of KU. And that's a big get for Kansas State. He is, they figure he'll be a fullback, 5'11", 230 pounds for Lawrence Free State High School, right in the backyard of KU. So that probably hurts KU. But in fairness, Jax Dineen had been recruited and already talked to Coach Kleiman well before he became the head coach of Kansas State. So there was already a relationship, and he did not let the emotional ties of his brother playing at KU prevent him from picking K-State. So that's very interesting. Khalid Duke, a linebacker from Atlanta, freshman. Joe Irvin, he is a freshman from South Carolina. Connor Fox, a tight end from San Antonio, Texas. Keenan Garber, a wide receiver from Lawrence, Kansas, another Free State kid, and right there in the backyard in Lawrence. So two big gets for K-State beating KU right there in Lawrence. James Gilbert, he is a transfer from Ball State, ran for over 1,000 yards. That's a good get for K-State. Need help at running back. Marcus Hayes, a defensive back, sophomore from Rockville, Illinois. Chris Heron, a quarterback from Houston, Texas, a freshman. William Jones, a second, a defensive back from Mansfield, Texas, a freshman. Jaron Lewis, a quarterback from Columbia, Missouri, choosing K-State. Taylor Portier, offensive lineman from Shawnee, Kansas. He's going to have to get bigger, only 250 pounds. He'll have to get much bigger.
I saw a picture of him after he committed the day before he signed, and he's like this cut, like he looks like a linebacker.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, oh, yeah, he's going to have to get – they're going to have to hit the training table with this kid.
6'3", 250, that's linebacker numbers. Offensive lineman Trevor Stenge from Coppell, Texas, a freshman, 6'4", 272. Logan Wilson, DB, freshman from Dallas, and Ty Zentner, punter, kicker from Topeka, He was at Butler Community College the last couple of years. So K-State did, I think, all right, considering everything. You know, getting a coach in late. I think they did fine. Kansas did okay. So that's the battle on the recruiting trail. And both are – now, I will say this about Les Miles and Kansas. They really are going after Kansas kids, which the last couple of coaches haven't done yet. So it's going to make it a little more difficult for K-State. But still, I think K-State probably got the best of KU, especially getting the two kids right there in the backyard in Lawrence. But KU did get the wrestle kid that K-State really would have liked there in Kansas City, a defensive back and safety, and he's supposedly a pretty good talent. So both did okay, you know, and I don't get caught up in all the rankings. I'm not going to waste time with that. Hey, you know, the Big 12, K-State was 8th and KU was ranked 9th in the rankings or whatever it may be. I don't care. And I like what Chris Klieman said. He goes, it's not when a three-star lines up against a four-star, they don't see each other as, oh, he's a three-star recruit and this guy's a four-star recruit.
Yeah.
They just see each other as competition and they go after it. And that's exactly right. And we've talked about it before. Dane Chris was a five-star athlete. How'd he turn out? Colin Klein was a two-star. How'd he turn out? Yeah, it's just, you know, I think a lot of people make a lot of money when it comes to all these recruiting services. You're making a lot of money to put stars on people. And just because Alabama likes a guy, he suddenly goes up to a four or five star. You don't see Alabama getting a lot of two or three stars, because when Alabama recruits them, they automatically go up a star or two.
Yeah.
How convenient is that? But if they're thinking between K-State and Oklahoma State, they're automatically not a four or five star recruit. But all of a sudden Alabama goes after him. Oh, hey, what do you know? He's a four star recruit now.
Yeah.
That's a bunch of baloney. That's
where you're at, man, too. Like if you're Jordy Nelson is going to end up as one of the best receivers in Green Bay Packers history, and his only offer was Emporia State to play football.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At the NCAA level.
Yeah.
Walked on to K-State, and look how that turned out for him.
Yeah.
Two stars.
And that's some.
Yeah, Sproles is the same way, you know.
Yeah.
Two or three stars. And
You can't predict motivation, work ethic of these kids. You have no idea.
And your recruiting rankings definitely do not measure hard either.
No, they don't measure hard. And you're high school, and you're usually the best player on the field, one of the best players. You go to college, now you're with a whole bunch of other players as good as you are for the most part. Yeah, I think people put way too much stock in signing day, personally. I think individually it's great for the kids. They get to pick a hat or whatever else and make it a big deal. I get all that.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, let's be honest. When K-State won the Big 12 a couple of times, when K-State was 1998, had a chance to be in the national championship game, and was it 2012, they ranked number one undefeated going into Waco. Did anybody go, oh, well, K-State can't do it because they had the 9th ranked recruiting class in the Big 12? Nobody cared about that.
No.
Nobody cares about it now, other than on signing day. Which, by the way, K-State's ranked 9th and KU 10th out of the 10 for recruiting signing.
K-State's like 80-something, KU's 90-something nationally.
Who cares, man? Who
doesn't matter to me.
Some nerd behind a computer, I'm going to say it, a nerd behind a computer, KU and K-State never have great recruiting classes. Just put them 9th, 10th. We got other, let's move on to the SEC. Let's rank that conference.
Yeah.
They don't look at these kids that hard in regards to figuring out who has the best class. And then, of course, there's a big story on CBS, Sports.com, ESPN, big winners and losers. Now, the winners are the kids that sign letters of intent to play ball and get scholarships. The losers, there are no losers yet.
No.
There's no losers yet. That's just ridiculous. I kind of get sick of it. The Houston Rockets last night, NBA, set NBA record. They made 26 three-pointers. Broke the previous record held by the Cavaliers when LeBron James was there with 25. They made 26 three-pointers, 136-118 win over the Washington Wizards. The Rockets are starting to play better basketball. And I've been noticing some highlights from Oklahoma City Thunder lately. It seems like they're always in a skirmish. They're like becoming the bad boys of the NBA. And Westbrook was involved in one thing with the Nuggets, which seemed to be kind of, I don't know, kind of petty, to be quite honest with you. But last night, Paul George, who's having an MVP-type season with 43 points, as Oklahoma City was able to knock off the Sacramento Kings. And, you know, Paul George, I'm telling you, he's one of my favorite players. He's an outstanding player, all-around player. Play defense, play offense. So here's updated standings. Toronto, still the best team in the East, a game and a half over Milwaukee. Philadelphia's up to the 3 spot. Indiana, the 4 spot. Boston, almost everybody picking them to win the East before the season began. You get Hayward back, you get Irving back, you got to be better. And LeBron's not in the East, but Boston is in the 5th slot right now. Of course, there's still 52 games to play. Detroit and Charlotte right behind Boston, then Orlando, and then a whole bunch of losing teams in the East. By the way, Ron Baker, not unemployed for too long. He goes from the Knicks to in division to the Washington Wizards. So congratulations, Ron Baker. Find another job in the NBA. In the West, Denver is the number one team with a one-game lead over Oklahoma City, who's the number two team. But guess what? Golden State's coming on now. Golden State is right there, a game back of the top seed. The Lakers are 18-13. Right now, they'd be the four seed. Portland, 5. Clippers, 6. Houston now has moved up to 16-14. San Antonio's been playing good ball lately as well. They moved into the eighth spot. And you've got a lot. I mean, Sacramento and Memphis have winning records, and they would not be in the playoffs if they began today. And how about the Lakers? You know, we said, well, it's going to be tough for LeBron in the Western Conference. The Western Conference doesn't look as tough as it did last year. Houston's not as good. San Antonio's not as good. The Clippers are a little bit improved. Portland's about where they were. Oklahoma City's better. Denver's better. But does anybody think that Denver's going to, you know, LeBron and Lakers play Denver in the playoffs? Are you picking Denver to win that series? I'd say most people wouldn't. So right now you have to tell yourself that based on the first 30 games that the best teams in the West, obviously Denver, Oklahoma City, Golden State, and Los Angeles Lakers. Lakers can beat any of those teams except maybe Golden State. So just like that, LeBron goes to the Lakers, and the Lakers are the second best team in the West.
Yeah.
Based on that rationale.
Yeah.
That's how good he is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you knew. I mean,
we always underestimate how many wins he can
better,
get.
Because
we said before the year that we figured Lakers be like a 5 or a 6 seed. And, shoot, they'll be in the conference finals. Put it down. LeBron, as long as he's healthy, they'll be in the conference finals in the West.
I'm going to let the season play out before I say that.
No need to. I'll save you time. LeBron James is healthy, and they're only going to get better. They're only going to get better. They got young guys. He's working into the mix. LeBron is. Luke Walton is. And they're only going to get better, dude. LeBron James and his teams always peak and get ready in the playoffs, no matter what team he's with.
No,
Miami,
I'm
Cleveland,
not going to disagree with that.
And he's younger. He's got more athletes around him now than he did in Cleveland. I mean, he's got Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma. I mean, Lonzo Ball is not a good shooter, but he can distribute and he can drive. He can kick. Josh Hart's not a bad player. They picked up Tyson Chandler, so for some defense. I mean, the Lakers are not. They got some defensive guys. Lance Stevens can play defense. I still think shooting the three-point shot could be their undoing. But, man, right now, I don't have to see anymore. I mean, they're already the fourth. They're only 3.5 games out of number one seed already, and they've only played 31 games. I mean, what do you need to
see? What I'm saying is these teams that we're talking about are coming on. Houston at the end of the year, if they keep playing the way they are, Houston's better than the Lakers.
You know what?
The Spurs are 3-1 against the Lakers this year. I think if they get healthy, they're better than the Lakers.
See, I'm going to tell you right now. I'll place a wager right now. The Lakers will be in the Western Conference Finals. What do you want to wager?
Something fun.
All right. Well, come up with something fun.
You can name it. You're the one that's making the wager. I'll do whatever you want as long as
you'll do whatever I want.
As long as it's
all right.
As long as it's as long as it's within the realm of what we normally do, like a pop or a six pack or something like that. Whatever.
Six pack of the person's favorite beverage, whether it be
that's fine with me.
Alcoholic or non-alcoholic.
Yep.
How's that? All right. Yep.
I'm in.
Say the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. All right, you're saying they won't be. Okay, cool.
Yes.
All right.
I'm
always betting on LeBron. Hey, I've been in LeBron. If I would have bet all these times and I bet on LeBron, I would be a very rich man. Because
I wouldn't take many of them in the East.
I remember they're down 3-1. Everybody wrote them off. I was one of the very few people out there when they're down 3-1 to Golden State. I said, you better not let Cleveland win game 5 or Cleveland's going to come back and win this series. And Aaron and a whole bunch of people text me, said, I'm nuts, I'm insane, and I was right. Because LeBron, and then last year, well, Boston's going to win the East. The Cavaliers aren't very good. I said, I don't care what the seed is for the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavaliers will beat Boston. It don't matter who they play. They will win. They were down 2-0 to Boston. Everybody's freaking out. I was like, dude, the series hasn't even started. They haven't gone to Cleveland yet. You know, don't you never underestimate LeBron James. And right now, I can tell you, in a playoff series, and it comes down to one game, which probably in those type of series, the Lakers play Houston, Lakers play San Antonio. You know, I'm taking the Lakers, man. I'm taking LeBron James, the greatest player in the world, and maybe the greatest player of all time. As long as he's healthy, I'm taking him. I don't care who he plays against except Golden State. That's the only team, of course, we saw that he can't – well, he did beat Golden State. He had Kyrie Irving to help him. You don't have that at L.A. now. But I'm sitting there going, there's nobody in the West the Lakers can't beat other than Golden State. They can't. They can beat San Antonio. They can beat Houston. And Chris Paul, you know, is going to get hurt in the playoffs. That always happens. So you can go ahead and write off Houston. You can tell me all you want about Houston being great, Dusty. Sorry. They always have an injury. Something's going to happen, especially Chris Paul. And James Harden disappears sometimes in the biggest games. So I don't even count Houston. San Antonio, I agree with you. They'll be better. But so will the Lakers. And Lakers are the Lakers have the greatest player in the world, and they've got some young guys that are going to be coming around, and they're getting better each and every game. And I don't think the Lakers even touched their potential yet. Not even touched their potential. Like, they've had games where they played poorly and they've been blown out. They bounce back, they win. 18-13, and I don't think the Lakers are even close to what they can be. And I still don't think they're a great team, but you can't tell me San Antonio is definitely better than the Lakers. They lost 15 games.
And then the Lakers have lost 13, and San Antonio's 3-1 against them.
Yeah, yeah. So regular season
saying,
game, regular season game. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. I mean, the Lakers can play the Spurs in San Antonio for
what
a seven-game series with
LeBron.
The Lakers
are 2 games right now from not even being in the playoffs. That's how tough this conference is.
And the Spurs are a half game out from being
in
the playoffs.
I know where the Spurs are at.
I'm not worried about the Lakers making the playoffs. I mean, I'll double down on that.
And I will make the playoffs. And I agree with that.
I mean, that's a given, dude.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is right now they're 2 games away from not being in the top eight.
They're 3 games away from being number one seed.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's how good this conference is. That's what I'm talking about. How good the conference is.
Well, I don't know how good the conference is. It's just you got winning teams. I mean, you got winning teams, but there's no great team in the West other than Golden State. I mean, everybody's chasing Golden State. Let's not kid ourselves. But after Golden State, who's the second best team in the West? I mean, honestly, and if you say Denver, I'm not going to buy that.
It's not Denver.
And I'm not going to say it's Oklahoma City.
I think you could put Oklahoma City higher than Denver.
I would put Denver, Oklahoma City, the Lakers, and probably Houston and maybe San Antonio all in one big bag, all together. There's no separation there. The standings even show it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
There's no separation. But what I'm
saying
is...
That's why I'm not just like automatically going to put the Lakers in the conference finals right now because you just said they're all together.
Right.
And I know you have LeBron, and that's why you're putting them ahead of them.
But you have the greatest player in the world. Who's this? DeRozan? You think DeRozan's going to be a superstar in the playoffs against the Lakers in a best of seven? I'll take LeBron over DeRozan anybody the Spurs have right now. I don't have to see their roster. You can have Aldridge and DeRozan. I'll take LeBron and the Lakers. LeBron has had less and done more with previous teams than he has with Lakers. He has more talent with the Lakers than he did in Cleveland, except for the fact he had Irving the 1 year. He has more, definitely has a lot more talent this year with the Lakers than last year. I mean, granted, he had Wade and Bosch in Miami. Oklahoma City's got 2 players, and they're a good team, George and Russell Westbrook. But, until Westbrook proves he can get it done in the biggest moments in the playoffs, are you going to take LeBron or Westbrook? I'll take LeBron. I just will. And Denver, a lot of people probably not respecting them enough. They're 21-9. But when it comes to playoff time, don't matter. Doesn't matter the seeds. You have the greatest player. He's going to carry you to win a game or two, just like LeBron did last year when he didn't have much, and he carried them to a sweep of the Raptors. And I know the West, I hear the West is better than the East, but if you look at the records, that's not really true. Their teams with better records are in the East than in the West in regards to the top tier. Now, granted, there are more losing teams in the East, but this West doesn't look as daunting as everybody thought it was going to be. Remember? It was, oh my God, Golden State and the Rockets. And then there's the Spurs. Well, the Spurs haven't been super special this year. And who's another team they were talking about? Utah. Utah was a chic pick. Utah's 15-17. They're not even in the playoffs right now. They were picked to win their division, for crying out loud. So the West isn't – Minnesota's fallen off. They were supposed to be a young and up-and-coming team, right?
Yeah.
The West isn't – they got a lot of records where they're 2, 3, 4, 5 games over 500, but there's nobody that's that good. There's nobody great in the Western Conference except Golden State.
Yeah.
So
– right now, there's –
So I'll take my chances. I don't want the Lakers to be in the Western Conference Finals myself, but – LeBron always is in the conference finals. Always. He's almost always in the NBA finals. I'll bet that just along with KU basketball winning the Big 12 every year until they don't. I'm riding that pony till she keels over, baby.